We usually have our calls either every Friday or every other Friday, something like that. Just as a reminder, everybody, that we're free to talk about whatever you guys want to talk about on here. It's kind of an open forum for anything that people want to discuss, get help on, toss out ideas on, anything like that. So, you know, the last call that we had, we didn't talk last week being it was a Good Friday, Easter weekend, but the last call before that, we kind of got into a lot of the sales presentation, kitchen table type stuff. And then we talked about how we would kind of pick up from there on our next call, which was would be today. So we can definitely do that, but I do want to make sure we always at the beginning see what else everybody else wants to talk about or what questions, concerns they have, because I want to make sure we always have time for that. And if we don't do it up front, then we run out of time and that gets shortchanged. So I know that Stan had sent me an email earlier today about something that he wanted to bring up and see what kind of ideas people had. But Stan was asking about dialers or an automated dialer and if anybody was using that. Stan, you want to kind of expand on exactly what track you were heading on or what you were thinking about with that?
Yeah. Hey, thanks, man.
Just a second, Stan. I'm going to mute everybody else and then open you back up because we got a lot of noise going on. Okay.
All right.
Go ahead. Are you on there, Stan?
Nobody.
Okay, Stan.
Renee.
Okay. Well, what Stan had asked me about was any kind of automated dialers. And my first response to Stan was, I've never used an automated dialer myself. And I don't believe that most of our agents have, at least in the final expense arena, simply because we all work very detailed leads that's directed just towards, you know, direct mail most of the time. And most of the guys that are career agents that are full-time making a good living are working direct mail. And when you're working direct mail, not a whole lot of use for a dialer, just simply because if you're working, you know, 20, 30, 35 a week, that's not a ton of phone calls to make. And you put those into a dialer, yeah, it's going to save your fingers some strokes on the keypad, but that's not enough contacts to where a dialer could actually do its job that it's designed to do. So does anybody else have any
feedback? Hey, Matt, it's Stan. Sorry, I had a few issues getting myself off mute. Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hey, well, hello, everyone. My name is Stan St. Villas. I just recently joined Matt's team. And really, the direction I was planning on going, I definitely will work the direct leads themselves. But my wife would probably go through a select list of callers, and you know, we're just trying to figure out probably what's the best way to do some cold calling as well. So it's more so just in addition to the direct lead campaign, is since she's, you know, working predominantly from home and have the ability to just make calls all day, just looking to see if agents have been successful using dialers and other forms of cold calling methods, and just trying to pick everybody's brain to see what would be a good approach.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if anybody's done any of that on their own as far as a targeted list. You know, we also have a vendor that we can get phone leads, which would be, I mean, pretty much come down to the exact same thing your wife's going to do for you, that are like $7 a pop, $8 a pop. So, I mean, that would obviously be something you would have to weigh out with your wife, you know, depending on her effectiveness. You know, maybe she's going to do that same lead for you for cheaper, and she's wanting to stay busy anyway, so that'd be better for you. But I don't know. Has anybody done any kind of targeted list, dialers producing leads on their own? Somebody's always got to be the pioneer, Stan.
All right. Well, hey, listen, I'll continue to investigate that route and I'll report back any successes or failures.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and I know there's people that do that. I mean, so there's no doubt about that. It's not like it's completely unknown or never been done before. Like I said, it really comes down to whether it's going to be economical or, you know, price wise, if it's going to be worth it for you to do it. And if it's being your wife that's going to do it, and if she's effective, then maybe it will be cheaper for you than, you know, purchasing phone leads. You know, something when it comes down to phone prospecting like that in general is you've got to have a lot of geography to work with. Just simply because, you know, the biggest thing is a do not call list. So, you know, if we're looking, say you've got, you know, 8 counties out there that you're looking at in North Carolina. And, you know, if you look at the do not call list, you know, we're going to wipe about, you know, so you got your targeted list. We're going to wipe probably, you know, 50 to 60% of those people off as soon as you scrub it against the do not call list. But I know you're a lot broader in your scope as far as what you're, what, North Carolina, Virginia, Georgia, Florida. Is that right?
That's correct. And South Carolina.
In South Carolina. So it being that, and then you got that much area to work with, that might be something that's more viable. I can hook you up with our vendor that does the telephone leads. And like I said, those are about $7-$8 depending on what kind of quantity that you order. But that might be something that would be a good first run for you on a couple fronts. One, to let you kind of judge the quality of people that you're going to get in front of, you know, with a phone generation method like that. And then two, kind of give you an idea of, you know, cost-wise, how that's going to relate to compared to having your wife do it for you. But I can hook you up with that if you want to give that a run. So,
okay. No, definitely. Sounds good.
And just while we're on that topic, if anybody else, you know, is waiting for their fixed cost direct mail leads to kick in, that's always a good option if you're, you know, wanting to get out in front of some people, you know, sharpen your presentation up, or a lot of times just have something to do while you're waiting for the mail to kick in. Those are a pretty good option. And at that price, you know, you're not wasting a lot of money sharpening your presentation. You can get in front of some prospects for pretty cheap. Now the question I always get, you know, when I bring that up, you know, people are like, "Are really? I can get a phone lead for $8. Why am I spending $30 on a direct mail lead?" Well, a couple things. One, the quality of a phone lead is never going to be what a direct mail lead is. Just simply because, you know, it's time after time. If you work both of them, you'll find out that the people that had to pick the initiative to fill that card out and mail it back in is a better prospect than somebody that just kind of picked up the phone, went through the motion. And then, you know, you show up and they're like, "Well, I don't even know what that gal was talking about on the phone. I was just saying yes." So you'll find that it's a better lead, which it very well should be if we're paying, you know, 3 times as much for it. But the other thing is too, is just simply when it comes down to quantity, you know, like I mentioned with the call list and everything, if we start producing, you know, phone leads, what happens is, like, you know, the first time that we swing through those counties that you're wanting to work, we usually do really well with the phone leads. You can get a pretty good return. You know, they produce your leads for you within 24 hours. You get, you know, 30 leads back, something like that. And you're like, "Oh, this is great." And then the second time we swing through that county, we can't produce as many. It's taken them 4 or 5 days to produce them instead of 24 hours. Still workable. And then the third time you swing through that county, all of a sudden the phone vendor saying, "Hey, we can't produce. We know you wanted 25 leads. We can't get them. You know, we've called through the list. Nobody's picking up. We can't get them." So with those phone leads in combination with the do not call list, you just burn an area out in a hurry. So that's why we always look at the telemarketed leads as kind of two things you can use them for. One, just to get you something to work while you're waiting for your direct mail to kick in. And then two, if you want to work them as like a supplement in addition to your direct mail as you go along. So, you know, I'm going to work 20 direct mail leads every week. Well, then on the side, I'm also going to add, you know, 5 phone leads or 10 phone leads to that. And then, so that's something that can be more sustainable. But as a primary source, long-term, it just doesn't ever work out because you can't produce the numbers. Not that you couldn't, you could, but you'd have to really expand your geography. I mean, you'd have to start looking at multiple states, you know, three or four states that you would have to be willing to work if you wanted to keep being able to produce a high quantity of phone leads. And, you know, like I said, it's not as good of a lead. They're not going to close as well. So if you're a guy that goes out and can, you know, produce what you want to produce off of 20 leads, 20 direct mail leads, well, to do that same thing off of phone leads, you know, long term, you're going to be needing probably 40 of those phone leads a week. And like I said, you burn up an area in a hurry when you do that. So anybody else have anything they want to add to that as far as the phone leads go or any questions? Okay. Another option lead wise there too is, you know, we can still get avatar leads, which is a, I guess if we looked at it on a scale, it's even a step down from the phone leads, cheaper, quicker, easier to produce. But I always tell people with avatar leads, you get what you pay for. I mean, there's going to be, undoubtedly you're going to have a couple sales in there, but you're going to have to wade through a lot of BS to get to those sales, and it's going to have a very low closing percentage. And what you save on money, you're going to spend on time investment and going through and trying to work those. So again, like I said, the people that do a telemarketed lead and they're willing to just go through the motion, say, yeah, whatever. Well, it's even a lesser prospect that's going to sit there and listen to a computer talk to them and talk over them and still complete the process. But again, we use it kind of in the same capacity. If you need to get your get some leads in a hurry, you want to go out and see some people, sharpen your skills while you're waiting for your direct mail or something like that, it is an option that's there. So, anybody have anything else that they want to talk about? Questions, concerns, things they want to get ideas on? Nobody. Is anybody on there?
Hey, Matt Coon, this is Ray Pater. I just want to let you know I'm on and just listening in here today.
Awesome, Ray. Glad to have you with us today, buddy.
Thanks.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, then we'll just kind of pick up, you know, where we left off last week or on our last call a couple weeks ago. You know, and for you guys that weren't with us on that call, we just kind of took off from the beginning of once you get into a house. So we went through the kind of kitchen table stuff, presenting the problem, finding out what they've got already, figuring out what track we're going to take. And then we kind of got ourselves to, you know, the actual presentation, presenting the problem, presenting the solution, was out of the way. I think so. Somebody remind me, did we get to presenting the solution? I don't think we did. I think we just found out what they had already in presenting the problem to them. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that's where we'd left off at. So we went through just kind of a brief recap on that. First thing, when we sit down in front of somebody, find out what they have in place already. A couple reasons on that. One, we got to know what we're up against, figure out what their needs are, whether they have nothing in place or they've got, you know, $5,000 policy need to add on to it, or they say, you know, I've got a $20,000 life insurance policy, but I need something for my funeral. Whatever it is, we just have to find out where we're at. And two, if they do have existing coverage, you know, we need to get them to get that policy out and set it on the table in front of us so we can figure out exactly what they have and, you know, if we're going to replace that policy, if we're going to add on to it, whatever it is. So once we did that, then we made sure that we'd taken a step back and that they understood how much funerals cost, you know, so we're finding out the problem, you know, here's the problem, you know, funeral is going to cost your family $9,000, you have zero coverage, or, you know, a funeral is going to cost your family $12,000, you've got a $7,000 policy, we got to find out what we're going to do to cover the rest of it for you. So we've done those two things, figured out what they have already, and made sure that we presented the problem to them, that there is going to be a burden on their family when they pass, Once we've done that, the next thing is to figure out what kind of solution that we have for them. So, you know, the first thing I do is just kind of explain to them. So, okay, so what we have is a program that has access to 12 different carriers, all the best carriers in the state of Missouri. So what we're going to be able to do is I'm going to run through some health questions with you. And then once we find out exactly what your health profile is, we're going to be able to shop that around to all those different carriers in the state of Missouri and find out which one's going to give you the absolute cheapest rate. Okay. And why I point that out to you, Ms. Jones, is because sometimes you'll visit with somebody and they are just with one company. So no matter what your health is, they're trying to shove everybody through one gate, and it might be costing you a lot more a month than what you could get elsewhere, but that's the only option they have. Okay, and that's not the situation we're in. We have all the carriers in the state of Missouri, and so we're going to be able to find the one that gives you the absolute best rates. We actually do all the shopping for you. So the first thing I'm going to do, Ms. Jones, I'm going to run through a few health questions with you so we can find out exactly where you're going to qualify for. Now, what I do personally is I just kind of have my own set of generic health questions to get me down, started on the right path and figure out where they're going to qualify at. So my questions are just simply, number one, do you smoke? Then have you ever had any strokes or heart attacks, cancer, kidney disease, liver disease, diabetes, emphysema, COPD, neuromuscular disease, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's. Okay. That's all. I just pull that out and that's generic. Now, what I recommend to you guys, if you don't have that in your head already, if you're not at that point, if you're just starting out, figure out who your go-to carrier is. So out of the carriers that you have, figure out which one is your go-to that you're going to write every time, as long as A, they can get qualified, and B, it makes sense. Okay. And once you figure out who your go-to carrier is, the first thing you do when you get into the health information is get out that application, or, you know, if it's Royal Neighbors or America or whatever, get out that worksheet. If it's not an actual paper application, all of them either have an app or a worksheet, one or the other, and make that your process of whoever your go-to carrier is. Just go through those health questions and see where you're at. That's probably the easiest way to figure out where somebody's going to qualify at. Okay. Now, in a perfect world, you're going to pull out your go-to carrier. You're going to go through those health questions. They're all going to be no. You're going to be like, all right, that was easy. I know I'm going to write them my go-to carrier. Okay. In a realistic world, you're going to start going through your go-to carrier, and there's going to be a yes answer on there somewhere. Okay. Now that's where then you have to look at, okay, I'm going to pivot. Maybe I'm going to write this carrier. Maybe I'm going to write a different carrier. So once you are on your go-to application and you have a yes answer, that's when you come back to our field underwriting guide. Some people consider it to be a cheat sheet, and I guess that's what it is. If you've heard of somebody that has a cheat sheet, that's our cheat sheet. We just call it the Pacesetter Field Underwriting Guide. I can email you a copy of it. It's also on our training website where you can download it, but you should absolutely have it in your notebook. So I'm, say, Royal Neighbors is my go-to carrier. I go through the health questions. I have a yes on COPD. Okay. I get out the field underwriting guide. I can turn right to COPD, and we there see how every company treats COPD, whether they have a level benefit, whether it's a graded benefit, a return of premium benefit, whatever it is. So based on that, I say, okay, well, that COPD, that's going to be graded with Royal Neighbors. Okay, but if I look across here, does anybody give immediate or level coverage for COPD? And I can look and I can see, yeah, I've got a couple options, actually. I can do a America Ultra Protector 2. That's a level death benefit. Or I can also look to a surety. That's a level death benefit. Okay, so that's always going to be our best plan of action, is finding out if my go-to carrier can't give them immediate day one coverage, who can? Okay, and maybe nobody can, depending on what the health condition is, But at least when we get that field underwriting guide or that cheat sheet out, we know where we stand as far as that goes. Once you do that, you narrow down what options that you do have. Okay, so that's the quickest way to find out what carriers that you want to look to. Once you've figured out where they're going to qualify for, the next thing in that, so I look at this, I'm like, okay, Rural Neighbors is probably going to be our option, or AmeriCo or whoever it is. The next thing as far as health goes is medications, and medications are huge. In my mind, bigger than what their answers are to the health questions. Every carrier that we write for pulls a script check. A couple of them don't pull an MIB, but they all do a script check. So the meds are really what tells the story. So as soon as I ask those health questions, say, can you give me a list of what medications you take? Or if you don't have a list, can you go grab the bottles, please? Because once they do that, that's probably a bigger determinant of what they're going to qualify for rather than what the health questions are. The other thing I always make sure I do is ask specifically, do you use any inhalers? And when I say that, I put my hand up to my mouth, like mimicking I'm using an inhaler, so they know exactly what I'm talking about, because that is a huge area where when you say go get your medications, people bring you all their pill bottles because those are in the kitchen next to the sink or in the bathroom or whatever, but they always forget to bring out their Advair, their inhaler, because that's next to the bed or wherever. It's in a different location. So always ask specifically about inhalers, because if not, that's a big sticking point when you go to try to get something approved and lo and behold, they said, no, I don't have any COPD, and they didn't bring the inhaler out, but when they pull that script check, it shows three different inhalers that they use, and you end up with underwriting problems. So, but the medications are a big one. A lot, most of our carriers have their own medication guide. So once you're thinking, okay, I'm pretty sure I'm going to write Rural Neighbors here, she go gets my medications, or gets her medications for me. Rural Neighbors has just a prescription knockout list. So not a comprehensive guide that has all medications in it. Theirs is just a matter of four pages, and it's just the medications that will cause problems for you. So if you're looking at Rural Neighbors, you just want to, you know, look at their medications compared to that list. 99% of the time, if those medications aren't on that list anywhere, you're good to go. You're going to be a level benefit. Those medications won't cause any problems. If you do see that medication on the list, it'll tell you specifically. If they've taken it in the past 18 months, it's going to be a graded policy. Or if they've taken it in the past 12 months, it's going to be a decline. It'll tell you exactly what the course of action is. Now, some of other, that's what the Rural Neighbors, they just have a prescription knockout list. Now, most of our other carriers, their medication guides are more comprehensive, and it's not a knockout list, but it's actually just a guide. So you'll find, like, if you look at AmeriCo's drug guide, you'll find most medications in there. And just because it's in there doesn't mean it's a problem. I mean, it will tell you lisinopril, that's hypertension, level benefit, no problem. But most of those will give you a pretty good idea. The other thing is, in our cheat sheet, our field underwriting guide, there's some medication guidance in there also. So for instance, somebody's on a blood thinner, whether it's Plavix or Coumadin or Warfarin, in the cheat sheet or the field underwriting guide, it'll actually tell you, those blood thinners with AmeriCo, no problem as long as they've been on it at least a year. So they can still be on it as long as they weren't newly put on it in the last 12 months. Or with Security National Life, as long as they've been on it 2 years, things like that. So the medications play a big part of it, and you have to make sure that you're thorough in checking through those. I'll pause for a second. Does anybody have any questions on that as far as sorting through carriers, figuring out where somebody's going to be approved at?
No.
Okay. The other thing on that is that most of the carriers that we work with, they're going to give us a way to get some kind of assurance of approval while we're still in the house. I'm trying to think, but off the top of my head, I think the only time that we really leave blind without having some kind of assurance that, that I wrote the right product is if we're writing an Ultra Protector 1 or 2 through AmeriCo. Used to be that way with Security National Life, that it was completely blind, no phone interview to tell us we were on the right track. But now if you use the Security National Life e-app, it'll actually pull that script check while you're in the house and tell you preferred, graded, decline. So that's especially if guys are just starting out and you're not quite as sure in your underwriting abilities as somebody that's been doing it for years, always try to stick with a product that's going to give you an answer while you're in there. Because it's much better to have something turned down on a phone call and pivot to a different product while you're sitting there in front of them and you can still salvage things and make the client feel good about it than it is to send something in, have it declined, you know, 5 days later, and then you have to go back out and make the sale all over again. And, you know, you told them how bad that graded coverage was, and now you have to go back and try to counter offer some graded coverage to them. So if you're just, you know, if you're less experienced as far as final expense field underwriting, then always try to stick with something that's going to give you an answer while you're in the house. So once we've done that, health questions, prescriptions, look their drugs up in the drug guidebooks, feel really good about what they're going to qualify for. I've nailed down the product. Then I'm going to go into actually presenting the solution. Okay. So in what I do as far as that goes is very simple. So I'd say, you know, well, congratulations, Ms. Smith. It looks like you're going to qualify just fine for our preferred product or our best product. And what that means for you is a couple things, actually. First of all, it means you get the best rates that are available. Okay, so I told you that we're not stuck with one company. We can find you the best rates that are available here in the state of Missouri. And because of your health, you're able to get the very top tier or the lowest rates that are available in the state. And that's pretty awesome because I visit with a lot of people, and at, you know, 68 years old like you are, most people can't qualify for these best rates. But since you're in great health, you'll have no problem with that. The other thing that means for you is that your program will be a full and immediate benefit. And what I mean by that is there are no waiting periods. So, for instance, you might see some stuff that you get in the mail or that you see on television with, you know, Alex Trebek or whoever it is, where you see him say that, you know, there's like a 2 or a 3 year waiting period on it. Okay. Now that doesn't make much sense because none of us know when we're going to pass away. Right. And if you're paying premiums on something, you want to know that you're covered right away. Cause otherwise you're paying for 2 or 3 years and you don't even have any coverage. That doesn't make sense at all. Well, with our program, there are no waiting periods. So if you set up a $15,000 benefit and God forbid something were to happen to you next month, this program will pay a full $15,000 out to your daughter, Jessica, even though you've only made one payment on it. Okay? So there's no waiting periods whatsoever. Other than that, Ms. Smith, this program is really simple. Everything is locked in for you. So there's no moving parts, no gotchas that you have to worry about down the road. So first of all, whatever monthly payment that you set up for it, that is locked in from day one. So it's not going to get more expensive every year, every 5 years. And why I point that out is because sometimes you see programs where they trick you up front and they give you this rate and you're like, oh, that's wonderful. And lo and behold, 5 years from now, that rate doubles. So it was $30 a month, and now it's, you know, $65 a month. And then when you turn 75, it doubles again. Well, pretty soon, it gets to where you can't afford it. because we know you're just on Social Security. So your Social Security is not going to be, you know, double that it is right now down the road. So for your, any kind of monthly payment that you have, if that doubles, that simply doesn't work. So eventually you end up where you can't afford it. You have to cancel it. And then Jessica has nothing when you pass. Okay. So that's not going to happen with this. Your rate's locked in from day one, never changes. Okay. The next thing is your benefit. Your death benefit is also locked in. It never changes. So you set up a $15,000 benefit. And like I mentioned, if you pass away next month, it's still 15,000, or it's the immediate 15,000. Well, the same thing. If you pass away 10 years from now, it's still the full 15,000. If you pass away at age 82, it's still the full 15,000. If you pass away at 103, it's still the full 15,000. So nothing changes. And again, why I point that out is because I know that you've seen the offers in the mail from AARP or, you know, whoever it is, to where you're getting your premium looks nice, your coverage looks good, but guess what? When you turn age 75, it cuts in half. So now instead of $15,000 benefit, you got $7,500. Or you'll see others that, you know, when you turn age 85, they don't cut in half. They just cancel out altogether. So you've paid premiums for all these years, and then your coverage is gone, you don't get any money back, and you've wasted all of that, and Jessica still has a $10,000 funeral bill sitting in her lap that she has no way to pay. Okay, so again, that won't happen with our program. With our program, it is good no matter what age you live to. Doesn't matter how old you get, doesn't matter how sick you get, what you get diagnosed with, you know that you're going to have the exact same benefit that we're sitting here talking about today. Okay, so the last thing is that it can never be canceled on you. So as long as you keep your payments made, okay, this is good no matter what age you live to, how old you get, how sick you get, doesn't matter how you pass away, whether it's accidental causes, natural causes, you know that the benefit that we're sitting here talking about today is going to be the benefit that Jessica's going to receive when you pass away. Okay. So that's kind of the basics of, you know, the solution. You know, like we talked about in our last call, you know this problem, you know that there's going to be a financial burden on Jessica. Here's how we're going to solve it. A few other things that I like to add. I don't get into a big conversation on cash value. To be honest with you, when you're working a final expense market, a lot of people don't want to talk about the cash value. Some people do. Some people ask right away, is this one of those that builds cash value? Is this one of those that I can borrow money on? And so we'll get into a big conversation. If that's something that's important to them, then we'll talk a lot about it. But a lot of the final expense market, that's not of concern to them. They just want to know that they're covered and that their family's going to get that death benefit when they pass. If it does come up, then I just say yes. Another thing that's really important, and this is what kind of separates this program compared to the stuff that you can just sign up for through the mail, is it does build cash value. So every month when you make your payment, part of that money goes into an account and builds interest for you. So why is that important? Well, let's say years down the road, you decide that you don't want it anymore. Well, you can cash it in and get your cash value back out of it, so you don't just walk away empty-handed. Now, Mrs. Smith, very rarely do we ever see anybody cancel this, just simply because, you know, they put it in place for a reason. There's a reason they took that coverage out. They didn't want to leave a financial burden on Jessica. Okay. So that reason is never going to change. You know, you're always going to have a funeral bill down the road. So very rarely does anybody ever cancel these policies. Okay. But if you did, you wouldn't walk away empty handed. Okay. But Ms. Smith, in my eyes, the reason that cash value is more important actually is, you know, it gives you a little bit of payment protection. So let's say you have it and years down the road, you hit a rough spot financially, you can't make your payment for a month or two. Well, what would happen is it's set up so automatically, if you couldn't make a payment, that cash value will kick over and make that payment for you. Okay. Which in my eyes, that's important because you're not going to lose your coverage just because you hit a rough spot financially. And if you throw that out to people, you know, most of our clientele who are absolutely paycheck to paycheck, that makes a lot of sense to them. And they love to hear that, that, you know, this insurance company is not going to just skate out on me because I missed a payment somewhere. My payment's protected, you know, and if I happen to miss one, it's going to kick over and make that for me. So people like that. The other thing I just kind of tell them, so that cash value is important. You know, it's a very nice feature of this. You know, what Ms. Smith, what I always tell my clients is it's not like, you know, we need a new big screen TV. Let's take a loan out on our policy. It's not there for that. But if you ever have a financial emergency and you need to get your hands on some money in a hurry, you should have a little peace of mind knowing this policy is always there to back you up. Okay. Another thing that I'll bring up is just you know, the living benefit or the accelerated death benefit, depending on the client that you're in front of. A lot of them are very impressed by that. most policies, actually, most final expense policies have that, but it's not something that a lot of people have heard of. So if you can throw that out, that's something that kind of helps you stick out. I mean, again, it's hit or miss. Either you say it and they're like, oh, well, that's wonderful. Or you say it and they're like, nah, whatever, I'm not even listening to you. But if you throw it out and if it's something that their eyes get big and they think that's pretty neat, you can expand on it. And if not, you know, you just move on. You at least threw it out there to see if it was a hook or not. But I just say, you know, something else that's really unique about this, that it also has an accelerated death benefit or a living benefit. Now, how that works is, if your doctor ever diagnoses you with a terminal illness, meaning you have less than 12 months to live, you can actually access half, and this percentage changes based on the carrier. Like Royal Neighbors, I think it's 70, 75%. If your doctor ever diagnoses you with a terminal illness, you can actually access half of your death benefit right now while you're still alive. So if you have this $20,000 policy and the doctor says, you know, Ms. Smith, you know, you've got cancer. I'm thinking you got about, you know, 8 to 10 months to live. Well, if God forbid that ever happens, you can, all we have to do is just get a written note from the doctor verifying that. You can access $10,000 cash right now while you're still alive. The other 10,000 or the remaining 50% of your policy will then be paid out to Jessica when you pass. But if you need, you know, you got sick, and so if you need help, that money immediately to take care of medical bills, if you need it to, you know, take that trip you've always wanted to take because you know your time is near, whatever it is, you can get your hands on 50% of that, or, you know, again, depending on the carrier, 75% of that immediately. And then I'm trying to look up what Royal Neighbors is here. I think it's 70. But again, I throw that out. Sometimes it's something that's really appealing to people. Sometimes it's not. And then the other thing I'll do right then at that point, last thing that really makes this program unique for you, again, this is going to depend on the carrier that you're riding. I like the Americo Eagle. I write a lot of that. If that's where I'm at, and that's what I've qualified for, I say the last thing that makes this really unique is that if you pass away from accidental causes, so let's say you go out and get in a car accident, this policy will automatically pay double. So on this $20,000 policy we're looking at, let's say you pass away in a car accident, it's going to pay out $40,000 to Jessica. Okay. And again, it's hit or miss. Some people think that is wonderful. And man, no other policy does that. And other people are like, I don't even drive. Who cares? And then the other part of that is if you pass away on any form of common transportation, you pay a fare to ride on, whether it be a bus, a taxi, plane, train, boat, this policy is going to pay out triple. So this $20,000 policy, Jessica's going to get $60,000 if you pass away on any form of common transportation. Okay. Again, either it's a hook, it's appealing to them, or it's not. You know, a lot of people, if you ride somebody that, you know, drives over the road truck, somebody that drives a motorcycle, somebody that lives just off of a busy highway, you know, so they got to get on the highway to go get groceries or go pay a bill or do whatever it is. A lot of those people are like, yeah, that's great, man. It's dangerous out here. But you throw it out and see where you're at with it. So to wrap all that up for them, I just say, so those are all the guarantees that come with this policy. The biggest thing about that is those guarantees always put you in control. And what I mean by that is you can make changes to this program at any time. So if you want to add on additional coverage later on, we can come back and do that. If the payment gets to where it's not comfortable for you because you have income changes down the road and we need to step it down, we can do that for you. Okay, so you can make changes to this anytime you want. You're in complete control of it. The company, though, can never make changes to you. The company is bound in writing by all those guarantees that I just mentioned to you. When you get your policy, they'll all be in there word for word. Okay, so this puts you in complete control of it. Now, then what I just say, do you have any questions yet, Mrs. Smith? Do you understand all that I explained to you? Oh, yeah, I understand it. So, okay. Well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to look and I'm going to figure up a couple different rates for you. You know, like I had mentioned to you, our average benefit is $15,000. I can figure up a couple different ones, but is $15,000 kind of what you had in mind, or were you thinking about a different level? And, you know, at that point, that at least makes sure that the rates I'm figuring get us into at least the ballpark of where they were thinking. So if she was thinking, no, 15, I want to leave Jessica at least 20, then I'm going to start figuring higher rates. And she goes, oh, 15, I would never need that. You know, I just want to make sure there's enough for a cremation or you know, whatever it is. So I just kind of give them a little bit of choice at that point of where we're going to start looking for rates. That doesn't mean we're going to end up at 20 or we're going to end up at 5 because they want a cremation or whatever it is, but just to get a little feedback at that point. Say, okay, Ms. Smith, I'm going to figure up $20,000, $15,000, and $10,000. Okay? So get your rate book out or your phone out or, you know, however you're pulling rates up. And, okay, Ms. Smith, I figured up three different levels for you. I'm going to step back. As a note on that, I always figure up three levels. For a couple reasons. One, I want to have some amount of choice in there. So I'm going to give three different levels, let them choose which one works better or tell me that none of them work and we need to look higher or lower. Some guys figure up five rates that I know. Successful agents that do very well, they always figure up five rates. Their thought process on that is a couple things. One, to cover a wider spectrum of possible premiums that might fit for them. And two, with five, they always figure one that's top of the ladder, you know, one that's a high flyer. They rarely ever close on that high flyer, that 35,000 or 50,000 or whatever they figured up. But they want to always throw it out there as an option. Because every now and then somebody's just going to jump on that one that's, you know, $290 a month. You know, they thought, no way, this person's probably going to be about $60-$70 a month, just, you know, from their assessment that they made, but person jumps on the high one. I don't like the five rates because I don't want to give too many choices. I think that any time you try to make the process more complicated, give more options, you just set yourself up to, ooh, well, that's a lot of decisions to make. You know, let me think about that and get back to you. Obviously, that's always an obstacle. Let me think about that and get back to you. But in my eyes, the fewer options we can give, the less of that we're going to have. So I always figure three rates. So I figured up $20,000, $15,000, and $10,000. I'm always going to give the $20,000 first. Or the highest one, whatever the highest one I figured, I'm always going to give that first. Even if I'm pretty sure that we're going to end up at 10,000, you know, based on how our presentations went, what we've talked about, what I've gleaned from the budget, I might know that we're probably going to end up close to 10, but I'm going to throw the 20 out first because then by the time I get to the 10, it sounds better. So even if the 10 is, you know, $100 a month, which, you know, maybe that's still a lot for their budget, it's still going to sound better after they've already been told the 20,000 is $200 a month. So no matter who you are, 100 is going to sound better after you heard 200. So, so I figured these up for you, Ms. Smith. If you do a $20,000 benefit, again, if you pass in an accident, that's going to pay Jessica $40,000. If you pass on common transportation, that's going to pay her $60,000. If we do that, that's $200 a month. Okay. Usually when you throw that first one out, you're going to be able to get a lot of information. So either it's, you know, a gasp and they about fall out of their chair and start cussing, or it's okay, you know, not a whole lot of reaction or whatever. You're going to be able to gain something when you throw that first one out. Usually if I get a gasp or whatever, I just move right on to the next. Well, that's all right. Don't worry about that. You know, if we do the 15,000, which is closer to what our average is, just simply because that's plenty to take care of what the funeral is. And then that's still going to leave Jessica, you know, probably another $5,000 left over to take care of bills around the house and such. That's $150 a month. Okay. And again, I'm going to make sure I'm observing, see what's going on. They're still cussing at me and still ready to fall out of their chair. Then I know I'm going to move straight into the 10. And if they get a more relaxed, okay, that's more like it. Then I'm going to kind of just throttle it down right there. And if we're going to close on 150, then we're going to close on 150. We might not even bring up the third one. They're like, okay, that sounds better. Let's do that. Okay. Let's say the reaction was still like, oh, yeah, that's better, but man, I don't think I can do that. It's like, well, that's not a problem. Now the 10,000, I figured, again, that's still going to give her 20,000 in an accident, 30,000 common transportation. The 10 is not a bad place to be at also, just because that's still enough to cover what the average funeral is. You know, you might not leave Jessica anything left over, but she's at least not going to be in debt for your funeral. If we do that 10,000, that's $100.83. Okay. From that point, once I've thrown three out, shut up. See what happens from there. Okay, so I'm just going to shut up, and I'm either going to be staring them straight in the eye, you know, waiting for them to make the next move, or I'm going to be down writing in my notebook just to see where we go. Okay, and if I don't get anything, so 45 seconds, a minute pass, and I don't get anything, say, well, that's the 20,000, the 15,000, and the 10,000. Does one of those work for you budget-wise, or do we need to look at something higher or lower, or? And again, based on their reaction, we'll see where we need to go. So, and it might be, well, yeah, I probably just want to start with that 10. Or it might be, you know, 20 would be nice, but what would it cost me to do 30,000? Whatever it is. Or we might be heading down, excuse me, we might be heading down lower to 8,000. But just based on their reaction, we see where we got to go. Any questions up to that point?
No.
Okay. So in a perfect world, again, they choose one of those, you write it up, you're on your way. In a realistic world, when there's objections, this is where they come out. So one thing I'll share, and we've talked about this before on our conference calls, but my personal belief is that at least 75% of the objections you hear actually mean the exact same thing. So there's all these different objections that can come up. Don't think I need it. Can't afford it. Need to talk to my daughter. I'd rather pay for it at the funeral home. But whatever. There's a lot of different objections you can hear. But my personal belief is at least 75% of them all mean I can't afford that right now. No matter what premium we're talking about, no matter what face amount we're talking about, you know, so I might get, I need to talk to my daughter first. Okay. So the first thing that I do is no matter what objection I've got, before I actually address the objection that came out of their mouth, I treat it as I don't have that in my checking account today. So the first thing, if I hear any objections, is, instead of acknowledging that objection, the first thing I say is, oh, I forgot to tell you, or did I tell you, or a couple other things. I don't know if I mentioned them to you, but one, we can always make changes to this down the road, okay? So with that in mind, a lot of people might need to start out at 8,000 because that's what fits in the budget for them, and that's no big deal because, you know, that gets close to what the average funeral is. And then down the road, we can always add on to get you to 10,000 or 12,000 or 15,000. The other thing, Mrs. Smith, is, and I don't know if I mentioned this to you, you don't have to pay anything today on this, okay? How it works is we actually, and again, depending on what carrier I'm going to use, we actually, the only thing we do today is fill out the paperwork, send it in. They're going to send you the policy in the mail. It takes about a week or 2 weeks. You don't have to pay anything on this till later this month, beginning of next month, whatever works for you budget-wise, okay? And that's the first thing I throw out on any objections, because usually that will smoke out or bring to the top what the real objection is. So what came out of their mouth might be, I need to talk to my daughter first. But then lo and behold, when I bring out the fact that you don't have to pay anything on this till the first of next month or the third of next month, all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay, well, let's go ahead and do the 10,000. Okay. So now all of a sudden talking to my daughter is not all that important. When I realize that I don't have to write a check for it today, or I don't have to give you cash today, that my daughter, she's not really that important. So I found out what the true objection was. And so, like I said, that's the first thing I pull out for any objection, because I believe firmly that most of the objections you hear are strictly budget. Okay. So if you let them know they don't have to pay anything today, or we can start lower, you know, we can start down at, 7,000 for $70 a month or wherever we need to start at, then it kind of helps you get down to what the real objection is. So if I throw that out and that objection's still there, that didn't solve it for me, then I'll address what the actual objection is, okay? And whether it's don't think I need it, or I need to talk to my daughter, or whatever it may be, we'll address what that actual objection is. So again, I'll pause right there. What kind of questions, anybody want to add anything to that? Again, that's how I attack things, but that's not telling you that's the only way there is to do it. There's a lot of ways to skin a cat, and everybody that's successful in this business eventually comes to their own conclusions of what works for them. So would anybody else like to share anything different on that works for them?
Well, after I do that, my fallback position is I look them straight in the eye and I nod my head yes, and I say, Mrs. Brown or Jack or whatever, always remember, something is better than nothing. How much can we help your kids? Somebody's got to pay this, even if we have to do $5,000. It sure is a lot easier on the kids to have something versus nothing. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. I think that's great, Bill. And that's, like I said, if I'm at a standstill after all those, that's what we look at, is start coming down. And that's, you know, something to keep in mind. You can always come down. You can always start looking at you know, lower face amounts. And my verbiage on that is real similar to yours, Bill. I just say, you know, we know there's a funeral bill that's going to be paid. So we know there's a race we got to run. And we're never going to get to the finish line unless we take that first step. So if we got to start with 5,000, then, you know, so be it. There's no shame in that. At least your kids know you're trying. You're not, you know, when the day comes, they're going to at least know that mom did everything she could. It's not like she sat here and said, you know, screw it, kids got to take care of it. They know you put effort into it, and maybe 5,000 won't cover everything, but it sure be a heck of a lot easier for the kids to scrape up that extra 3,000 than it is for the kids starting at scratch, having to come up with a whole, you know, 10,000 or 8,000. So,
and then part two is, when they say, okay, yeah, I can do the 5,000, I look them in the eye and I say, I'm really proud of you. You're a real good parent. Your kids will love you for this. Thank you. How do you feel? Pretty good? And shut up.
Absolutely. I like it. Okay, anybody else have anything they want to add to that? Okay, and then obviously at that point too, there's a lot of objections we can get into. We can look at getting on that topic on our next conference call. And, you know, we have a lot of ways to approach or attack whatever objection it is. None of them are foolproof, but they're all just, you know, additional tries, additional arrows in your quiver where you can, you know, give it a run and see if you can find that hot button that's going to get things closed for you. I've got just a couple notes that I wanted to bring up. One, I was talking with an agent this morning who was, I think it was via referral, but ran across some younger clients, like a bunch of, or a handful of people that were, you know, late 40s, and one lady was even 30, but they were all wanting coverage and he was wanting to know the best options for them. So I just wanted to make sure you guys were all aware of what other options we have for more, more traditional type products. So if you have a healthy client that's looking for higher face amounts or is younger, Rural Neighbors, Essential Whole Life, which is their, it's still Simplified Issue, but their more traditional Whole Life, is a very good option. It's a little stiffer on underwriting, but again, if they're healthy, they've also got different payment options on that. They've got the standard, you know, life pay on it. They also have a paid up in 20 years option. So you're visiting with a client that's even, you know, 60, and, you know, they sit down with a calculator, God, I don't want that. If I live to be 100, you know, they think they're going to live forever. If I live to be 100, look how much I paid in or whatever. You could come back to this product, figure up a paid up in 20 years and show them that they're going to get, definitely going to get more out of it than what they paid into it. But that Rural Neighbors Essential Whole Life has a life pay, a 20 pay, and it also has a paid up at age 65. So just so you know, that's there. If you want more information on that, you can either get on a Rural Neighbors website, you can call me and I can run through it with you also. And then also if you run
only for under 50,
no, that goes above 50.
But it's fully underwritten, right?
No, it's still Simplified Issue. So,
oh, it is? Oh, okay.
It's not, we've got the agent guide right here. I'll look at the ages for you. It's still simplified. It's not fully underwritten. So there's no medical or anything like that. The underwriting classes on that, standard non-tobacco up to age 85, preferred non-tobacco, tobacco up to age 85. Super preferred is only up to age 50, but you can do preferred and standard, both tobacco and non-tobacco, up to age 85. The deal with those higher ages on that though, Bill, is it has a $25,000 minimum. So,
oh, okay.
You know, we're looking at pretty sizable policies if somebody's 80, you know, getting $25,000 on the minimum.
That's they usually get that when they're in their 60s.
Yeah, and that's why I mentioned usually for the younger ages. And that's for the standard rate, $25,000 minimum. If you're doing preferred or super preferred, it's actually got a $250,000 minimum. Yeah, so you're really looking at younger clients on that. But again, sticking with the younger clients, so you know, maybe you run in or via referral, via spouse off of one of your leads.
Mm-hmm.
You have, even if you've got a, you know, 45-year-old, but she still has, you know, elementary aged kids or, you know, teenagers or whatever, and she's wanting some term insurance. We've got good term options too. Again, sticking with Rural Neighbors, they have their new jet term that is on the tablet. It's instant decision, no phone calls or anything. So you can get in, do it all online while you're sitting there, get an answer while you're sitting there. So it'll pull the MIB and the script check in the background, and you can do term. I think you can do up to $500,000 worth of term on that instant decision while you're in the house. So that's another good option. And then another product, Americo, has their HMS, it's home mortgage series, but it has nothing to do, not tied into the mortgage at all. But it's just a term. And just kind of a heads up on that, if somebody wants term with return of premium or term with cash back, Americo's HMS with cash back is very, very, very competitive rate-wise. The regular Americo term is not that competitive. But term with return of premium or cash back, that Americo HMS is very competitive. And again, that's on your tablet, instant decision while you're in the house, no additional underwriting, pretty simple to do. So those are just a few options. You know, if you get in front of more traditional prospects, younger, healthier, wanting something other than just what the whole life's going to do for them. So a few other notes. Americo is sending their bonus checks out for the final expense apps that they ran for January, February, March. So we got some agents that got some nice bonuses, some of them a couple $1,000s, just based simply on app count. So those will be mailed out, I think, today or Monday. So you should have those by Wednesday. And the other thing with Americo is don't forget their last – shouldn't say last, their bonus qualification for this term is closing at the end of May. And so we've got a handful of agents that are close to reaching that 8% bonus for Americo. It's kind of tough this go. It's 6 months is what it is. And they announced that we were 3 months into it already. So that ends in May. A new one will start June 1st. You got 6 months. If you can do 30,000 with Americo in 6 months, they're going to pay an 8% cash bonus. No cap on that. So if you write 100,000 with Americo from June to the end of November, you're going to get an $8,000 bonus. So it's a straight 8% on whatever your issued and paid production was for that 6 months. So that's one to keep in mind. Again, it runs June 1st to November, the end of November. And they set it up that way for Christmas bonuses. So whatever you do for Americo in that time, on December 15th, you're going to get an 8% cash bonus as long as you've done at least 30,000 with them. So last thing, United Home Life just announced that they now have true Social Security billing available. So you can do first, third, second, third, or fourth Wednesdays on that now too. So. Other thing, the field underwriting guide that I'd mentioned, don't forget you can get that on our training site. It's just paysetteradvantage.com/training. Click on the button that says online training. It is password protected. The password is just agent-training. But again, give me a holler if you need help with any of those other materials or anything like that. So, other than that, that's all I've got. Does anybody have any questions? Anything else they want to talk about? Very good. I hope you all have a great weekend and back at it and a good week of sales next week. So it was nice talking with you all. Take care.
Thanks, Doug. Thanks, Matt. Thanks.
Yep.
Hey, Bill?
Yeah.
Bill from Apple Valley. This was Rick again. Can I get your phone number?
Sure. You promise not to call?
Oh, fair, I'll be calling.
Okay. All right. 612.
Yeah.
244.
Okay.
8590.
244-8590. Okay.
Yeah,
Bill.
Fridays would be a great time to, you know, get together maybe for lunch or something and just go over the week and what problems we have, what great things happened. And if you're interested, I don't care one way or the other. It's up to you.
Sure, I'll have more questions once I get dive into this and get going on, you know.
Have you ever done final expense before?
No, I haven't. I did door-to-door sales for long-term care and cancer was my...
Okay, I've done those before, too. I had my own agency with 27 agents for about 10 years.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I used to have 80 life companies and all kinds of stuff. Long-term care, I had 4 companies, and disability, I had 5 or 6, and annuities, I used to do about $7 million a year in annuities back then.
Yeah, so I never really made any, I didn't do any life sales at all, so I was never really tied into life. So this end of it's kind of new to me, but I like Final Center. It kind of seems a little bit easier, you know, to understand kind of in a way, you know.
Yeah,
so,
I just want simple now. I've had people ask me for other things, and, you know, I don't want to be bothered. I'm 64. I just want to coast for the next 20 years, going around, putt, seeing my seniors and, you know, helping them out and, putting up with the boneheads. You get a lot of royal assholes, but that's the way life goes.
Right.
Keep going. Yeah. You know, like just last week, all right, I got 17 leads. Out of that, I was only able to make 5 appointments by phone. And then 2 with door knocking. I'm going to write 1 and 3 today and maybe 1 at 1 o'clock today.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a rough week. I had all kinds of odd situations, you know, like 4 out of the 5 were just weird shit. I had one lady, I'm right in the middle. I give all the information. I said, no, she's got no other insurance, and she's on the RNA Royal Neighbors. That's my go-to company. And she says, well, I won't answer that about having other life insurance. She wouldn't disclose it. So that ended the whole deal. I lost a $60 a month case.
Yeah. And many people as we talk to, you're going to run into all kinds of cases. So, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's where we can write a book when we retire, Bill. So, all right. Well, hey, it was nice talking to you. And, we'll do that down the road here. We'll get together some and we'll from there, okay?
Yep. All good right. enough. Nice meeting you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.